Hey, welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have one, not two guests in the house. Their film, Kingdom of Avar, is worth watching, so everybody sees it, but you always got to wait to the end to find out where to find it. I'm going to try this guy's last name, Nicholas Kleblem?
Caban,
writer, director's here, and an actor from the film, Mark, I'm not even going to try your last name.
Brombacher.
Oh, Brombacher, I should have got that one. Welcome, guys, welcome.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you. Finally, you guys finally got to connect. Let's start right at the beginning of the film. You have like a little thing saying this film should be played loud.
Yeah.
Now, how loud should I play it?
As loud as you want. There's a reason for that. It's because of all the screaming in the movie. It's really loud, right?
It was good. I like that. I just thought I was going to hear some death metal band immediately start at that point. I'm like, nope, there's no death metal band.
No, there's no singing in the movie. Just score, pretty much.
So you guys are an independent production. You guys have lots to do. You have a lot of actors. Very impressed with that. Big cast. Yeah. A lot of work. So let's start with you, Mark. How did you get on board?
I wasn't the original person to be cast in the role of Elmer. There was somebody else, and I think he was pretty repulsed by the role.
Yeah,
we don't need to mention the guy's name right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'd rather not mention his
we
name.
We don't want to talk about him.
He was repulsed by the role, and you know, I love horror, and I saw posting online, and I sent him a demo reel, and I just got cast, and then I looked at the script, and it was just bananas, and I was like, the only way to play this role is to go 100%. It was a really crazy role, and I sort of got involved kind of in the middle of production. A lot of it had already been shot, so when I stepped on set, I just met a bunch of people and just dove into the role, and from there, just met a lot of great people and started working with Nick a lot more since then. So
yeah, he didn't get involved with the movie until we were shooting pickups, because this movie was shot in a very piecemeal way. So, you know.
Okay, before I get to my next, let's pick up there. Why was the film shot in piecemeal way? What caused that to happen?
Because it's just such a low budget movie, you know, there's no other way to do it. And also, after I finished shooting what I thought was going to be like the complete film, it was only about 60 minutes long. So I just needed to come up with more stuff, basically. So it was very difficult to get the movie up to 80 minutes, honestly.
So as a filmmaker, you had your script ready. You're good to go. You had your actors. And I do want to get to Sonya. Don't worry. How did you decide to add an extra 19 minutes? I mean, I think it's 119, the film running time.
I just wanted it to be 80 minutes long. It seemed like a real feature, you know.
So what did you have to work on? Did you have to add more of the magic scene? Did you have to add more the roommate scenes? Or where did you add?
Yeah, the stuff I added was with the girl and her really abusive psycho boyfriend, the magic show scene, all the scenes in the restaurant, and a couple other things. And the stuff with Mark, but we were going to shoot that anyways. That's about it.
Well, you were waiting for Mark to show up, of course.
Yeah.
So how did you find your lead actress? I want to say she's got a very distinct look.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I want to start, right there.
Craigslist. That's it. She just emailed me on Craigslist.
Seriously? So there's like no casting call. She just sends you an email in the blue and you're
there was a casting call on Craigslist, and she, I think, was probably the only actress that emailed me from, another one. I can't remember her name though, but.
Don't worry about it. All good. I like her look a lot, so I just wanted to know.
She's also a stand-up comedian, by the way.
Ah, that I can believe, actually. That one I would give her more than an actress.
I think Mark is as well, aren't you?
I tried it. I'm funny on a personal level, but when you put me on stage and I try and tell jokes, I just bomb. So I tried it, but I really stink. So I'm not going to be doing much stand-up anytime soon. But I'm hilarious right now, as you can tell.
I'm noticing.
Are there crickets? I'm hearing crickets up there.
Okay, you have a house location, two houses, a restaurant, and I will have to spend some time in the musician location and the bar. So how did you get all those as an independent filmmaker?
What was the fourth one?
Magic show? Yeah, the magic show location.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the bar. So I'll give you all those options. Bar. Discuss whichever stories you got on those for me.
The bar is in the restaurant, so yeah. the scenes in the where the magic show was supposed to be like a nightclub type thing. We shot it at a place in Hamilton called the Staircase Theater, where they show the Exploitation Film Festival. You know about that one?
No, I do not.
It's a horror movie festival in Hamilton, and I guess they closed recently. So, you know, like everything else these days.
Do you have anything on your house locations?
Hmm?
The two houses you used. You used two distinct houses. Did you borrow them? Were they yours?
No, there were three houses.
Oh, I missed one.
Yeah. There was Sony's house, and the actor who played Var found that one. There was the party, the house where they had the party at the beginning.
Yes.
There was the house where the girl and her with the abusive boyfriend lives. That was pretty much a mansion, basically.
And what about the house where we had the sacrifice in the backyard?
Was that was the party house, yeah.
Okay.
That was the backyard, which is really nice, I thought. Yeah. I wanted to shoot that scene at night with, like, you know, torches and everything, but it just didn't work out that way.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Yeah, I was thinking that. That would look really sweet.
I think the color and everything in the scene, it looks pretty good, so.
Oh, I like it. But, I mean, torches always make me happy, right? Because I know something cool is going to happen. True. Let's continue on. When we're sitting there with the magic show, did you have something in mind or this out of your brain, or did you actually go to a show similar to this?
No. A lot of people told me it reminded them a lot of a movie called The Wizard of Gore by Herschel Gordon Lewis, which I've never seen, so thought that was kind of funny. But the only movie of his I saw was one called Blood Feast 2. I don't know if you saw that one. That was kind of a weird movie. But, just like, you know, these grand Guignol things, they're like, you know, usually some psycho in a tuxedo is butchering women on stage. It's pretty much a uniform type thing. And I remember when we were shooting it, like, I thought of adding the scene where, you know, Brittany gets her liver taken out. And I'm like, hey, why don't you eat your own liver? That would look cool. And she's like, okay. The look on her face was pretty funny when I told her that. And I just improvised that. That wasn't in the script either.
So when you're shooting a scene like that, does your audience like react to that scene? Because I did. That was the first one. Well, whoa.
I've only shown the theater once, and there was an audience of like 10 people, so it wasn't much of a reaction to it. But I don't know.
Fair enough. So that's
not the show for that, by the way, because he had to go to a wedding.
I couldn't even go to that. I was in New York for my buddy's wedding, but
it was in August. August 2019.
Just last year, but
at the Fox Theater in Toronto. Yeah.
No, I'd love to see a theater screening, and you know, even just get a bunch of people. Like, if we ever do another one, I'll try and scare up, you know, 20 people so we can make some noise and howl and stuff like that. Cause I think it deserves a live audience just for the visceral reactions. You know, there's just some moments in there that are just, you have to experience with other people.
Oh, I agree.
Like what? Yeah. There's
like what? Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we're gonna be talking about plot points, but this is one of those movies where there's at least two scenes where, you know, afterwards, when you see, you know, everyone will know what scene you're talking about. It's like, yeah, just wait for that scene. And then when you get out of the movie theater, people are going to say, yeah, I know what scene you were talking about.
Is it the basement scene, Mark?
Is that the basement scene with Sonya.
Yeah.
And Var and lightning bolts are involved in some point.
Do you think we should tell the audience what happens during that scene?
I'll leave that to you. I don't know. Do you think so?
I don't know. What do you think, Simon?
It's up to you. I'm not going to ruin your film in any way. I want people to see it.
Okay, I won't say what happens, but
you got to see it. Like, if anyone's listening to this, it's like, check out Kingdom of Var just for that moment. And when, you know, when you see it, you'll be applauding.
Or disgusted beyond belief. No. What was the other one? You said there was another one? What was that?
Oh, what was the other one? Oh, of course it would. I'm just sort of maybe being self-congratulatory, but you know, like the Elmer scenes, I personally see them as kind of high points because I'm particularly revolting in them and rapey, let's say a little bit.
Yeah,
rapey,
you know what?
Revolting.
You know what? One of the things that drives me the most insane about the movie, I don't know if either of you might notice this, but in every scene with Elmer, you see his teeth, and the top row of teeth are all gross and dirty and rotten, but the bottom row is perfectly fine. Yeah. Did you notice that? Yeah, because we only put...
My lower teeth are kind of awful compared to normal teeth, but compared to the fake teeth I'm wearing in the movie, they actually look really nice. So, but I have nice top teeth in real life, I must say.
So,
So that bothers you. We can do that in post. We can fix it.
No, we can't fix that in post.
No. how
we don't have the budget for CGI.
Playing your character, Mark, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the most friendliest person.
Yeah. It was...
I don't know what I was thinking with that guy.
Well, I read it and I was like... there was really nothing to grab. Like, you know, as an actor, you always try and find... You know, I'm going to sound douchey right now, but you try to find the humanity in the character or something that the audience can get on board with. And really, there's nothing redeeming about him. So I just decided to lean into the despicable. And it just, but it ends up creating a little bit of comedy, which I don't know. I think it's probably the only bit of comedy in the movie. I think it's hard not to snicker a little bit when you see how revolting Elmer is.
Like,
so.
The thing is, Elmer is, I know if you haven't seen the movie, but Elmer's only in the movie for about 5 minutes total. Like, he has 5 minutes of footage. So I didn't really think it was terribly necessary to make him a very well-developed character. You know, like in Jurassic Park is a terrific movie, frankly, but, you know, the lawyer character in it is kind of one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he's not in the movie that much, so it doesn't really bother me a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But Elmer's got a funky vest. Did you bring your own costume, or you were given that vest?
I made that.
In my notes, I have a lovely vest, guy in vest. So I did write that down. Continuing on, did you do a how was the reaction to people in your neighborhood? It looks like you were at times just filming Sonya walking around in your neighborhood or in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what happened there? Did people come?
Sorry about that. Mark doesn't know about this, but. When we were filming a scene where she's running down the street screaming, help me, help me. There was a person in a house down the street saying, I'll help you. And like, lady, we're shooting a movie here. That's about it.
So no, she offered, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. And we have people stopping in the middle of shots from cars waving into the camera, like, get out of here.
So, was that the most annoying thing you would say about filming an indie film, is having these random people interrupting you?
Oh, there are a lot of annoying things about making an indie film. Simon, I don't know. I wasn't very annoyed making it. It wasn't hard to make. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but I think I did a pretty good job planning it out. I mean, I storyboarded most of the movie. Like, I think you should storyboard. If you're going to make a film, you should storyboard it, because if you know all the shots beforehand, you're not going to sit around for long periods of time trying to figure out what they need to be, right? And you'll have a rough idea of what it's going to look like and what the editing is going to be like, you know? So that's my philosophy as a director.
Oh, wow. I should take your philosophy on editing my podcast. Just do it. You have a lot of old...
I don't think that's necessary for this podcast. What were we going to say?
You have a lot of old stuff. You have a VHS tape. You have a VCR. I mean, who has this stuff? You have a tape cassette player.
Oh, lots of people have it. You go to, like, these horror conventions, they have tons of VHSs for sale there. They're all used, yeah, but, I mean, people still collect them. I know guys who collect VHSs.
Yeah, horror fans are nerds.
Horror fans
for
in particular.
Media. They just love that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but VHS. I don't think I've watched a VHS in about 3 or 4 years, honestly. So... Although I really liked it when I was around, because you could watch movies. I didn't mind the poor quality. I just, as long as it was in widescreen, that's all I cared about.
Fair enough. Was Kyle always supposed to be a complete dick?
Hmm?
Was Kyle the character?
You mean Kyle?
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty evil, eh? Steven's very And I really enjoyed working with Steven. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed working with all the actors. They're all great.
Would you consider your film a found footage genre film when you find the videotape? No.
Found footage, the whole movie's like a documentary type thing. So no, I would not.
Fair enough. So, Mark, how was coming onto the film partway through? Did you know what you were getting into at all?
Honestly, and I don't tell a lot of people this, that was the first feature film I'd ever been in. I'd done a lot of short films. I'd done a lot of live theater.
No. You did Gray Zone. You did Gray Zone.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know that was going to be a feature. It's because when I was shooting it, they said it was going to be about 40 minutes, but it ended up being about 60, 70. But yeah, like at the time, my understanding was this was my first feature. So I don't know if anyone noticed, but I was green about being on set. I've been in a lot of films since then, but I was really green about being on set, and I was super friendly, and I was introducing myself to people, shaking people's hands, and I was like, hey, I really, really like the opportunity working with you, Nick, and I hope we get the opportunity. And to the point where I sensed genuine annoyance from Nick for me being so chipper.
I don't recall that at all.
I was like, I remember I was like, well, I had a great opportunity. He was like, yeah, you already said that, Mark. Like, or something like that. It was kind of hilarious, but yeah, we did end up working together after that since then.
Yeah. We made a short film called The Dweeb. Did you see that one? On my Vimeo page?
I did not. I watched this on Amazon Prime because I try to support you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Can I feel
free? Okay, feel free to watch my shorts on Vimeo.
I will.
Yes, I'm. We did one together.
Play
another revolting, one. Disgusting, nerdy character called the Dweeb. So.
Yeah, he did another short where he was AD on it that's not out yet.
That's a good one.
So, Nick, did you film this over multiple seasons? Because it looked like to me you did.
Right. Yeah. The last three pickup days took over a year to shoot. We're spread out over a year.
Okay. I just noticed things like that. So
yeah, the continuity in the film is not the best, honestly.
I love the wig story.
The wigs. That was fun.
Well, am I getting a wig story?
You know the magic with Kyle's hair and the magic show scene. Can you kind of tell that's a wig because it looks different from his hair in the rest of the movie?
It's all good. It's an indie film.
He cut his hair, yeah. So I think
he cut his hair and then grew it back. And yeah.
So you didn't give him directions. You're not allowed to cut your hair.
No, because we filmed it way later on, and his hair was totally different. So we needed a wig, and I had to buy one at like the last minute. Like right the night before, it was just the night before we shot the last pickup day was the most stressful day on the whole production for me.
Okay, where did you find Old Fart Wine?
Old Fart Whiskey, I just made that up.
Oh, it was Old Fart Whiskey, okay.
Yeah. I guess they can make wine too, I don't know.
Branching out, yeah.
Yeah. So
when you were storyboarding and writing the film, how much work went into the lore of Var?
Not much, I don't think. I can't really remember. This took a long time to write. We started out as a short film, like a 40-minute short, that was just going to be basically Sonia, her friend Ashley, and Var, and mostly just take place inside the house. And I wanted to shoot it on Super 8, so I bought a bunch of Super 8 film that still has not been used yet, and I have it in my closet. And hopefully I'll use it someday. You know, it's expired by now, but who knows? Yeah, I'm a 100% film purist, and I want to shoot everything on 35mm or 16mm, but there's just no way I could have afforded it for this, so.
So, Mark, are you a film purist in any way?
I wouldn't say so. Not a purist, but I'm a fan of films like that.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to film shoot on film. I don't mind shooting on HD. I think it looks fine, you know, and it is a lot faster, honestly.
So how is working with your CGI effects?
There's barely any CGI in the movie.
There's a couple.
The lightning that comes out of Vara's eyes was done in Adobe After Effects, and like everything else is just done in the video editor, the Sony Vegas thing that I used. Just changing colors, tints, some weird stuff like that. I don't know.
So how was Blood? Did you enjoy working with Blood, or did you find that a pain in the ass?
I love working with Blood, you know? Just so much fun. I wish there was so much more of it in the movie.
So, Mark, I guess I'll go to you the same question. Do you like being covered in blood? Or have you ever been covered in blood?
I have been. I'm fine with blood as long as I don't ruin any of my clothes and my wife will like freaking kill me. But if the one thing I was pretty squeamish about was dealing with the liver, like the other actors and extras were like biting into it, and I just wasn't going to eat raw liver, even though I love to eat cooked liver. I just didn't want to put it in my mouth. So like you might notice on camera that it looks. You know, if you look, watch closely, I'm not really eating that liver.
Well, nobody,
the other extras are diving into it. Just
nobody ate it for real. But
they're like, they got it in their mouths, and they're like chewing on their But me, I'm like, you know.
Yeah, that was a real
liver. Next time, I'll commit. If you put me in another, if you give me liver next time, I'll totally mow down on that.
So. Yeah, that was a real liver, and it was in my car for about 8 hours before we shot the scene because I forgot about it, and it was a very hot day that day.
It was pretty rank.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, because I even have my notes. I was going to ask you, was the meat cooked on one side? Maybe the underside, and you only cooked one side? So that's all straight raw meat.
That would have been a good idea.
Well, that's what I wrote, because I wasn't sure. I'm like, they can't be making the meat raw meat.
No. I mean, most of the guts and everything in the movie, most of them are prosthetics and silicone, so obviously. But, you know, sometimes you just got to... do what you got to do, I guess.
So I did make a note, even in death parties, solo cups are found.
Say that again, what?
Even in death, solo cups are found, those red cups.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Solo cups, they're like plastic cups, so they're seen in the movie.
In the party scene?
Yes, in death. I just said at every party you have solo cups. I just thought it was
funny.
Your film switches from black and white to color at one point. Did you want that, or did you want it to stay all in one color?
Well, originally I wanted to shoot those scenes in like tints, like yellow, blue, red, which some of it is that way. It's, there's a movie, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a 45-minute zombie movie. It's called like Pure or something. It was made by the director of a Stephen King movie. I think it was called The Night Flyer or something. I'll have to look it up. Maybe you could look it up. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, it was shot in like, the whole movie was shot in black and white, but they tinted it yellow. So yeah, I wanted it to kind of look like that. But I like the way the black and white looked anyway, so I just left it normal.
Fair enough. You do have a little bit of nudity in your film. That was a little shocking to me.
Which nude scene in particular was shocking to you, Simon?
The one down the hall.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see that coming in anyway.
Which also sort of dovetails into the big scene that we're talking about that you have to see.
Yes.
We're not going to, not going to get more and more than that.
I mean, good. I haven't discussed anything.
That's okay.
Okay.
I guess Vita was fine doing it. She got paid for it, so
she was willing.
She was willing to do it.
Absolutely,
do it.
Okay, I'm going to try to be nice here, so you're going to have to work with me. We get to the end of your feature.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, and will we be continuing the story?
I don't. You mean a sequel?
I do, but I was trying not. I guess so. I haven't really ruined anything.
Well, I have no plans to make a sequel. I'm working on a new feature right now. I just showed it to Mark, so.
Yeah. I mean, if this somehow reaches cult status and we get, you know.
Then
there's some, there's demand for it.
You know the horror industry, horror franchises, like there's always going to be like 20 movies. And like, Jason, Freddy, Children of the Corn, I'm surprised they took so long to make a sequel to Carrie, even, it took like 20 years almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm going to move on to the fun question portion of the film.
Oh, goody.
So these are just random questions I have for you. There's only three of them, and you both get the same ones.
Okay.
I'll adjust it a bit for Mark because he's not a director. I apologize. Unless you are, then it'll be easy.
Oh, no, no, no. No, he is. He
I haven't directed a feature, but I'm a writer-producer, but I've directed shorts, but not a... So
he made a movie called The Paperboy. Did that win any awards?
It did. It's, I directed and I wrote it. It's a film called The Paperboy. It's about being a paperboy in the 80s, which I was, which is... It's a bygone era, and when you used to have to go door-to-door and collab.
Oh, we lost Mark.
From adults, and the adults would lie to you and make up bullshit reasons why they couldn't pay you.
Yes, I remember.
So, yeah,
that's sort of... Should put, like, alien and UFOs in that movie. Maybe science fiction. But anyways, get to the questions.
There's only three of them. It's pretty quick. Just because it's your first time on the show, your favorite film?
Oh, I told you that. It was probably
The Shining. Mother.
Oh, you mean Mark.
Mark Shining. No, you didn't
say that. Go ahead. Yeah.
The Godfather and The Shining are my favorites. I mentioned that in the last podcast we did, didn't I?
No, I've never had you on a show before.
Yeah, you did for The Short Dana.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're right. I'm an idiot. I totally forgot.
Oh, sorry. I thought Nick was wrong for a second.
No. Many of them. He's right. He's totally correct. I totally forgot. Okay, Nick, I apologize.
It's fine.
I'm sorry. I haven't done that in a long time.
I like a lot of movies, you know. Tons of movies. Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me is one of my favorite films.
Oh, that's a great Lynch. I love David Lynch. That's a great
good
one.
Goodfellas.
Also good.
You know, what else? I don't know. American Movie, the documentary. I don't think you've seen that one, Mark. Have you?
American Movie? No.
You've seen that, Simon, right?
Which one?
About Mark Borchardt? American Movie about Mark Borchardt, the filmmaker?
No, I have not.
Oh, well, I recommend it highly if you haven't seen it.
I will see it. One film you guys should have seen and never have?
Seven Samurai.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I've seen parts of it, though, not the whole thing.
Great film.
I also haven't seen Ikiru and West Side Story. Those are the big three I want to see.
I haven't seen Ikiru, but I have seen West Side Story.
What about you, Mark?
For the longest time, it was Die Hard I never saw, but I just saw it a few months ago. But I had never seen Die Hard. So I finally knocked that one off the list.
I'm shocked.
Seven Samurai I haven't seen either. So
it's two of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
Last question, since you're both directors. What advice would you give somebody to first start their indie film shoot?
For a feature or shorts?
Doesn't matter.
Why don't you start, Mark? Let me think of something.
I would say you're never going to be prepared enough to make it perfect. And even if you do prepare, when you dive into it, everything's going to go a different way anyway. So I just say, don't be afraid to make a bad movie. You know, go out and make something. You know, if you have a good story, just make it happen, dive in, figure it out as you go. That might not be great advice, but that's how I approached my first few movies, and all of my shorts have won awards so far. So I'm looking for.
Maybe I would just say, like I said before, just try to prepare as much as possible. That's all I can, only advice I can give.
So the opposite of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell everybody where they can find your film, please.
Right now it's on Amazon Prime and Vimeo On Demand. Hopefully it will be on more platforms soon. Hopefully there will be a DVD Blu-ray release soon as well, but who knows?
Well, thank you for your time, and you guys have a great evening.
Hey, okay. Thank you, man.
Okay.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Okay, very good to talk to you, Simon. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca, and if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.